Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. Today we're covering episodes 2 and 3, Some Assembly Required, and Return of the Gladiator. We'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Let's get together!
Opening music chosen by your Black Lion because I have a terrible sense of humor.
So we have a series of team-building exercises prepared for tonight's show, right?
I love... Oh, my God.
And no, montage!
Unless you guys want to get up and do trust falls... No.
No, I'm not the type of person that falls forward.
Just to shake it up.
You're a terrible human being. Why don't you just break your nose because it's funny?
I'm a martial artist. You guys know you have to tuck and roll.
That's true. But dang, that's a terrible thing to do to the person that you're... Good Lord.
This is why I'm the blue lion.
It kind of is. I don't know. After seeing how trust falls work in The Simpsons as a kid, I was like, I never want to do that.
Never do that.
I don't want to do that.
Never again.
I have done trust falls successfully in my life, and I have done trust falls unsuccessfully in my life because some people are assholes.
Wow. But also correct.
Yeah. No. There's a reason they're called trust falls, and some people don't deserve to be trusted.
Oh, snap.
Fact.
Somebody just throwing that fact stamp.
Yep. Fact. Anyway, welcome back to the after show. We are having a grand old time talking about giant robot lions that become a giant robot human and beat the hell out of other giant robots. It's wonderful. With me is Blue Lion Alexis Torres.
Yeah.
I was about to say the record.
Alexis the record Torres with the
different
Blue Lion.
Giant robots.
Guys, it's a better day.
We do find so many of these.
Yeah, I know. You can find me for all shenanigans and my brain, apparently, at atorres890.
Green Lion Megan Salinas.
A.K.A. also Lord Megantron. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And I am Black Lion and also Kia Prime because I run these things.
Yes, you do. The Decepticons are on this side today.
God help me. We're supposed to be a team and well, that's the wrong show.
Sorry.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. We are down a red lion today. Emma is out in her little shack in the desert communing with the wilderness.
Aww.
She's actually watching the Kenshin premiere, and we're all really jealous.
So jealous.
We're super jealous. And she asked us to tell you that.
And not only that, but she wants to the world to know that this movie is amazing.
Oh my God.
So,
obligatory plug.
Well, no, I want to go see it.
I loved
Kenshin. I mean, we're here talking about Voltron. Like, anime and anime influenced shows are awesome.
And I want to make sure it's a Kenshin movie and not a Samurai X movie because that's a very different experience.
They're two very different things, but they're both awesome.
One of them has a level of violence I can handle from real people, and one of them is like, and there goes the head, goodbye. Anyway, we can't seem to start this show without talking about other anime first, and I know it occasionally just really throws people.
Yes, it does.
Through our Steven Universe panel, that was fun. That was Evangelion.
Really?
Oh my God, yep.
So anyway,
we have two episodes. Some Assembly Required, which is actually one of my favorites.
It's great.
And we have Return of the Gladiator. So going into Trust Falls, the episode.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, this episode is wonderful.
Now,
you can see why I took a long time getting to like Lance.
Well,
it's
clearly.
Can you stop?
He definitely had a lot of issues to work through. Now, this episode, at least talking about episode 2 in particular, I was a little bit kind of wary going into this episode because out of all of the episodes in this season, this is the one that felt the most obligatory. It's like, okay, this is where they're gonna learn how to become a team. And for anybody who watches a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know that a lot of times when you bring in a new team and they have to learn how to work together, that takes time.
It's the trust fall episode.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to establish a groove as a team. And that can be very compelling television, but me personally, I always find it way more interesting when the team is already formed and working together and they're already in sync. And then maybe as a flashback episode, like, oh, how they came together or how they learned to work together, things like that. That being said, for an episode that had to hit those specific beats, this was done pitch perfectly.
Yeah. This was so
I thought it was a good mesh of okay, we can tell that these guys are not a team yet, but at the same time, you know, when things happen, they'll just click.
Yeah.
Which definitely happens.
Survival instincts will only take you so far.
Yeah.
Real quick, because I keep forgetting this at the opening. I'm real good at my job, you guys. We have a hashtag, ABTV Voltron. Use that on Twitter. We have a live chat going on right now. If you are in the live chat or in the hashtag, have something to say, have any questions, throw them in there. You may well get a shout out. Yes. The food fight, you guys.
Best freaking thing ever, even though I totally felt with Princess Allura, where I was like, yeah, Pidge, shut up.
That was everything starts escalating, and then Koran saying, you will not speak to the princess that way, and I wrote it down because I was just like, holy, the princess of what? We're the only ones out here, and you're no princess of ours. It's like, whoa.
I was just like,
boy, it's almost like her planet's gone.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
For everybody, they've left their home and everything like that, but Earth is still intact. Their families back home, for those with families, are still down there and still fine.
And I understand. Thank God.
And yeah, I'm like, I was agreeing with what Megan said earlier before the show started. It was like, she woke up to her, the last thing she remembers from her planet was it was on fire.
It was on fire, and her dad was saying, I'm sorry.
And then she wakes up and dad
is... I promise.
And dad is dead and evidently an AI, and her planet and its entire solar system, because we're Zarkon and we believe in overkill, is just...
I mean, especially when we got to see... I mean, that's referring back to the first episode where we got to see what Zarkon has actually conquered. It was, more than half of the universe. I was like, what's happening? But at the same time, I was like, I understand, Pidge, you're going through a hard time. I get that.
That's
fine.
Pidge is dealing
just
with
hit
Pidge.
That no, like, bam.
Yeah, but I'm like, come on, guys. Like, bring it back in. Everybody is suffering, just a little bit. I know that you're also in a weird spot, and I want to give you a hug, but dear God.
Yeah, clearly, because Pidge
just
had
doesn't give a damn.
Well, Pidge had that little freak out during the team building exercises. Pidge had that little freak out, and then this dinner scene comes right afterwards.
Yeah. I mean,
so you're like, okay, I get you're stressed, yeah. I get you're frustrated, but that was a really messed up thing to
and
say.
This yeah, is the third time that Hunk has been screwing around in her private areas, and it's just like, Hunk, get out.
Just, it was...
Well, you said it. You said her.
We're talking about both episodes, let's be real.
Can we go ahead and just say, how nice it is to not have to worry about that pronoun?
Yeah,
I mean, clearly it didn't matter to me, because last episode I was just like, her, I mean him, I mean who?
we're done playing the pronoun game, and this is what I love, going back and rewatching the pilot with Shiro going, wait, that's your father and brother, because you can just kind of see him going through... He never mentioned having another son. He definitely mentioned having a daughter.
Yep.
You could just see those pieces just click into place.
And conceivably, and you pointed this out when we were rewatching this set of episodes, conceivably, Shiro and Pidge, a.k.a. Katie, met the day of the launch, because in that picture of her and her brother, the ship is in the background. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same ship that Chiro is thinking of during the clear your minds, undo that. So that had to have been right before the Kerberos
launch. That was my giant red flag of wait a minute. Shiro knows what's happening.
I'm looking at that. That's the point where we really had the emphasis on that picture that she couldn't let go of. And I'm like, okay, either Pidge is a girl in disguise or he's trans, because that's definitely her in the skirt.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, okay, in disguise. Good.
Now,
good to know. Because of things that happen later on.
Yeah. At the risk of sounding like a complete moron.
Oh, here we go.
And maybe it was just because when we were initially going through the series, we were just watching it late at night. And there was a lot going on in my life. But at the risk of sounding like a moron, I was sitting here going, Does anybody else think it's really weird that he and his girlfriend have the exact same face?
That sounds like you weren't going to say that. I was like, is she going to tell them that they have the same face? Because that's like super anime, like really like down to the drawings of like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
They have the exact same face.
I'm also, you know, hip deep and sinking in Tumblr, and everyone's got headcanons about this character's non-binary, this character's trans, this character's, and so it's like, okay, that's entirely a possibility. And having Bryke at the helm, and we had our on-screen lesbian relationship at the end of Korra, I'm like, you know what? Maybe they're going to do the thing.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And they didn't do the thing, but it was still pretty great.
I mean, for what they did do.
Which is good, because everyone's like, oh, I already knew. And it's like, oh, okay, those would have been really bad comments if he was trans.
But that being said, they could have been more progressive with it, but turning Pidge, changing Pidge's character from a boy who was just kind of the generic nerd to a girl who has family at stake is so much more interesting.
Oh, I love that storyline. It's great, and I wanted to learn more. Even though my soul was crushed last episode.
Right? And the fact that we've split up the nerds, and it's not just one person who does all of the technology and all of the everything.
Fantastic.
It's the very obvious tech nerd and the mechanical genius that is Hunk. Like,
oh, I can't get over
can
that.
Can we get a character episode for him in season 2?
I hope so, because I want to know more about his life.
Oh my God, yeah, we know nothing about anyone's backstories. The most backstory we have is Pidge. And it's just like, ugh.
Oh my gosh. And even then, it's not a ton.
These are the frustrating things you realize when you hit the end of an 11-episode season and you're looking for things to tide you over into season 2.
Yeah.
This fandom hit hiatus really hard.
I didn't even think about that until now.
The hiatus is not treating anyone kindly, but they didn't go insane during hiatus like Sherlock fans did.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to bring that back. I just got over that. I went to different Sherlock AA meetings. I'm good. I don't need to go back to that. Just kidding.
Wouldn't they be BB meetings for
you? That's what it was.
221 B Baker Street.
You!
That didn't work out well. That was a terrible thing. I forget I said it.
We will move on from that.
Yeah, please do.
I know a lot of people who have gone through Sherlock AA in the intervening years.
Yes.
Anyway,
sorry.
This is the Voltron panel.
Speaking of Voltron, I wanted to bring up from the chat.
Do it.
That I agree with Andrew, because I was talking to a friend of mine when we were. She's watching it for the first time, so we're going through it. It's great, and she was noticing. She's like, "I'm sorry, did Coran just use a napkin to shield the princess from sludge?" And I was like, "Wait, rewind."
Was it a cloth napkin?
Yeah, I thought it was a plate when I first saw it. So I was like, "Wait, rewind that." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's a napkin."
If you've ever eaten in a nice place that has the heavy cloth napkins, you can kill a man with those things.
It's just interesting to me because Coran's that goofy, like, yeah, guy. So, like, in my brain, I'm not thinking of him actually being, like, an actual protector. So when he, like, immediately jumped into action, I was like, oh, don't mess with Coran, okay?
Yeah, and you get hints of it in this episode, too.
And that's what I was going to say. I really liked that.
And what I love is that even the characters who are like, oh, you're kind of a joke, is, like, occasionally they will show up and smack you in the face with their competency.
Literally.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, God.
Again, we have things with Hunk coming up, and it's just like, he's actually really smart, and no one ever gives him credit for it. Like, holy cow. Just casually hot-wiring alien technology he's never seen.
It's great.
Yeah. To go back to Coran, you know he is a man that should be feared when they're all in their lions and all of a sudden all of them are blinded.
and he's like, it's fine.
It's just a training exercise.
I wrote that down. This is an expert level drill that you really shouldn't attempt until you've been flying for years, but we're in a bit of a rush, so here we go.
I didn't understand it when it happened, and then all of a sudden they're like, what's happening? I can't see. And I was like, no!
You're a monster!
I mean, I will agree, like, even though we had that giant food fight, I know that we have to get into episode 3 and everything, but, like...
No, we have time.
Princess Alora was kind of being a little brat. She was being a little pushy.
But that was the point.
I know, but it was like, at the same time, I was like, come on, like, you gotta let him breathe a little bit.
I mean, to be fair, she knows what's at stake.
Yes.
Because she's seen the destructive power of the Galra Empire. It took her planet from her. And I think that's more of what it is over anything else. It's not like, we have to protect the universe. It's more like, everything I've ever known and loved is gone.
Except for Coran
and
mice.
Get your stuff together, Voltron crew.
Well, and I think part of it was her her putting on the act, because she did say, yeah, I gave them a common enemy. It's what they needed.
Mm-hmm. And so I think she's just playing drill sergeant. Yeah,
just seeing that flying in unison was not going to do it. It's like, all right, we're I'm pulling out the big guns. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yay.
Am I the only one else who's doing this?
Am I the only one still pretending to be enthusiastic? Like, that was just a great, that was a really great way to show that. The series is really, really good at show.
Yeah.
I
just love where they take anime tropes and they throw it in, like, is everybody else nodding? Like, I love things like that. Like, that's adorable.
I love the screen splits. And it's like, you can tell when it's going to be Voltron because it does that very specific split.
It's so great because
it's like, no.
This is the type of show that can do those split screens ironically, like when they're all like, and then also do them 100% seriously.
Yeah.
And it works in both scenarios. It's good.
Oh, it's a matter of execution.
I can't wait to talk about episode 3 because there's a favorite clip of mine that I want to talk about, but I'll wait.
There are many wonderful things in episode 3. I am super amused by all of this. I want to know where Lance got the pajamas and the lion slippers. I want to know where I can get a pair of those.
Hey guys, I usually don't like to put this out there, but my birthday's next Sunday. Who wants to go to summer?
I've worn through the slippers that I've been wearing around the house. If lion slippers can be obtained, and if I can keep my cat from destroying them?
Ooh, yeah. My dog who's outside right now tore up my Totoro slippers. So.
Oh no!
Let's just say he was in the doghouse for a pretty good amount of time because I was like, those were nice.
So if anyone knows if/where it is possible to get lion slippers, those were some nice pajamas. Where did he get those?
Also, his regimen way better than mine. I can't even keep up with his beautiful classic jazz that he had going on and his little facial cream. The man all real
shiny. I want to say it was Spencer Harris. Sent us a screen cap. Sorry, I just woke up. Hashtag flawless.
I love the one he sent of, and again, it's episode 3 with the sacrificial fire, and when the bay won't accept your apology, and howled.
It is my favorite thing. I want to frame it. It's so beautiful.
Megan can vouch for this. I sat there and I just cackled at it.
Literally laughed out loud.
Literally. It was amazing. But that is next episode. I love the cheerleader pyramid.
Why are you on? Why are you up top? I thought I was the head.
You literally yelled, "I'm a leg."
I was yelling a lot of things. I don't know. And I've seen this fan art and I love it. Someone did a fan art of them in cheerleader outfits in that pile. Somebody
show me the picture.
Yes, I've seen it. Someone please link it. I don't have it handy, obviously. Linked it eons ago before I'd watched the show, and I was like, what the hell am I doing?
And not to mention
I saw that episode and went,
And not to mention that for a group of television producers and writers and animators who did not go back and rewatch the old series, they managed to slip a little Easter egg in there.
And I'll form the head. Was talking with a friend who was, because that was the big, we yell it every time it happens during the transformation sequence in
arms
the 80s.
And body.
And I'll form the head. Like, it was a thing.
I forgot and about I was, that. I was like, what are you talking about? And it was just all coming back to me, dream sequence.
She's having a Shiro moment over there.
For real. I was like, I'm getting tingly. I'm having a stroke or I'm remembering things. I don't know which one. I smell toast. It must be both. Sorry. Anyway.
Wow.
It's been a day. I'm sorry. Wow. That was a terrible joke. I apologize. I'll just see myself.
No, stay here. That was wonderful. My friend told me she was watching this with a group of her friends, and one of them, every single time the Voltron transformation sequence hit, would yell, and I'll form the head. And I'm like, how have you not murdered him yet? Like, that is my question. The first time, it's funny. The second time, it's like, okay, that's fine. The third through 8,000th time, it's like, you need to
That's kind of how I felt, how they always have to say Voltron. If for people who are of age, if you did a drinking game to every time they say Voltron, you'd be dead within episode 1.
Well, yeah, episode 1 is 66 minutes.
Yeah, that's why I said you'd be dead. Just dead. You're dead, Jim. You're dead.
Yeah. That's like doing the drinking game for 24 where you take a shot every time they show the clock.
Oh, why would you do that? Sorry.
And everyone who's watched 24 just kind of...
Play responsibly, guys.
Yeah.
Play responsibly.
Or drink with water if you're going to do stuff like that.
That's usually... the only way I can keep hydrated.
To get back, not to, I mean, we've already talked about it a little bit, but not to, like, jump ahead to the end of episode three, talking a little bit about, more about Pidge, you know, actually being a girl, you know, and this, knowing that and looking back at the pilot and then these two episodes, like, having that context, I'm pretty sure, and granted, I have to wait till we make it through the rest of the season, but I'm pretty sure every episode of Voltron passes the Bechdel test as a result of that little twist.
Yep. Thank God.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, no, no, you're right.
You don't even think about it.
I'm not, because I'm just like, oh. All right. Oh, right.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, when she's yelling at Alara about not being the princess of her, they're not talking about a man.
Nope.
And again, they're just throwing epic levels of shade.
It's just a small little thing, but it's like, wow, by having more than one female character... Mm-hmm. And not having love interest be, like, their main focus.
Awesome.
Every single episode of this season passes the Bechdel test. And it's just such a small thing, but it's deliberate. And it's, like, well done, gentlemen.
No, like, this seriously,
is great.
This is fantastic. There are, I mean, I know that they want shippers and things happening, because I've seen it. I've seen the artwork. But like...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, you guys are... Like I said, the hiatus hit hard. They went... The fandom is prolific.
Well, I mean, you guys are fantastic. And I love the artwork. It's just kind of like, where did you guys get this information from? Where is it happening? Did I miss something? Someone needs to give me a story.
Communal headcanons for the most part.
Yeah, no, I was on Tumblr late at night, and I was like, I shouldn't have done this.
Oh, that is dangerous.
But, yes.
Like, in the hashtag?
No. Just in general. Just looking at just Voltron, anything.
Like, yeah, like, in the Voltron hashtag?
Yeah. And I was like, Oh, wow. Wow, these shippers are interesting. I find this...
There's like, this thing not bad. Called Tumblr Savior where you can filter things out and it has a not-safe-for-work filter.
Yeah, because I've seen Tumblr... What is it? After Dark or something like that? I don't know what it's called, but I was like, I shouldn't have been on here.
All of Tumblr.
I was going to say, isn't that just regular Tumblr?
I mean, that's true, but I think there's like another... I don't know. I saw some things I wasn't ready for. Okay?
That's... All of Tumblr.
But yeah, I agree with you. I love that because my friend of mine who's been looking for more kind of like, not woman empowerment, but like animes that are not like, oh, look at me, I'm so cute, like kind of things. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, there's a few of them. You just got to look for them. And she is now watching Voltron and she's like, holy crap, I just realized we have two bad A women on here. And it's awesome, especially when we get further into the episode with Princess.
It's fairly glorious.
Yeah. But that's the other thing is that both of these characters, they're well-rounded characters, yes. And neither of them are the stereotypical strong female character.
Yeah, they're well-rounded, which I love.
And we have Tech Geek and Action Princess.
And they're two completely different type of women.
Tell me I'm wrong!
No, I just love that. I want that to be a type.
Yeah, and they're action two completely princess. Different type of women because the Action Princess is also extremely feminine, and obviously for obvious reasons, Pidge is not. That's just not her personality. But
we'll talk a little bit about that in the next episode, where she rolls a natural one on her small talk. Holy crap!
I was like, wow, we just turned a whole leaf.
But again, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, look, you can have two female characters, and they can be different people.
Yeah,
and
that's fantastic.
Without being stereotypes, it's great.
Yeah. I love this show.
What?
Just No. I wasn't laughing at you. It was saying Alexis saw things during the war. I mean, Tumblr died. That made me laugh. Thank you, Andrew.
Speaking of seeing things during the war, we get another convenient Shiro flashback.
Whoa, that flashback was nuts.
And dude. I love that we did that, because we only just had the little one in this episode, but we'd had two or three exercises before this where Shiro's the last one standing. Shiro did it right. Like, obviously, he's good at this game, so we had to take
too
this
good.
One and, well, yeah, obviously. So we had to take this
good.
One and go, look, he's not infallible, because he absolutely froze.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Nothing.
He does that kind of often.
Shiro has left the building.
Every single time. But no, I think the one thing I did like about that whole sequence and that fight was that the editing and going back and forth was so good. It was just,
yes!
I loved the fact that we were like, now we're fighting his robot form, and then we're back to him back.
We've switched episodes.
Oh, dang it, we're on episode
we're
three.
We're still talking
about
two.
Sorry, my bad. I'm gonna bring it back. We'll talk about that later. Bring it back. Sorry.
That said, I did love that. I made a note of that.
So good.
That was some glorious editing.
So good. Okay, continue.
Yeah, no, I was just talking about when he freaked out when he was facing the gladiator.
That was nuts.
Yeah, and during that little exercise, which, by the way, I love their robot, like, their robot training program or whatever. The design of the Altaian robots is really legit.
Yeah. It reminded me of the robots from Portal, but way scarier.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's just going to drop out of the ceiling, ready to fight. Let's do this. Like, does this happen often? Is this a thing?
I mean, that maybe that's why the Altaians were just really awesome.
Well, and another thing to know
well,
is...
Well, and we see things later on.
Yeah, of course. And another thing to know is that the princess mentions that, you know, that was meant for an Altaian child.
Yup.
Which means that Altaians are either super badass or these guys are just really bad at being a team right now.
Some combination of the other.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
But I mean, again, the stuff we find out about Altaians later is just like, yeah, no, I wouldn't put it past Altaian children to be super badass.
No, I completely agree.
Let's be completely real. Mm-hmm. And the one other thing that I think we need to hit on here is we keep cutting away to Zarkon and to the druid whose name continues
Hagar.
To escape me. Thank you.
Okay.
For some reason, my brain's just like, it's Cree Summer, and refuses to slot another name in there.
Yeah, that's exactly where my brain goes. And I'm like, look at Summer, look at
Yay! Which, by the way, you know, I'm so used to hearing her in, like, these really cutesy roles.
Right?
Where, you know, number five and, like, Susie from the Rugrats. That you when she to. Plays a villain, it is scary.
So she good. Is good. Yeah. Oh, my God. She knows her stuff.
She's fantastic.
We get to see a little bit of... We can just knock out both episodes' Zarkon bits because it's about 5 minutes of footage total. We get to see how he operates, and it's talking to that commander, and was your mission a success? No, we had to pull out early because it would have murdered half the men if we didn't. Well, you should have let him die, and then the other ones would be stronger. But now we're going to kill you, too, because weakness is a disease, and we need to cut it off instead of letting it spread.
And I was like, what?
Whoa, what? That's a really weird philosophy.
You broke
That's
my toy,
really,
you shall die.
It's bad for morale.
I don't think he... gives a lie.
Right? Yeah, who cares how people function.
Yep.
And it's one of those things that you can only really do when you've conquered most of the galaxy and a lot of your troops are centuries.
Super expendable.
Do you think it's because of the 10,000 years he hasn't really had to, like, a fight, you know? Because he's like, Voltron's gone, so I just, that's how I roll.
Like, he hasn't had a challenge in the span of the 10,000 years.
Yeah, so he's just kind of like, I get my way. You didn't give me my way, so you die, I guess.
Well, I think
I don't know.
That's also how he lives his life,
true.
For one. And for another, he really does just have that many people.
Mm-hmm. He has so many people.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
It's not even like an art of war type scenario.
Nope.
This was just like, oh no, this is how I feel. And yeah, somebody who, if he can afford to like lose an entire half of a squadron, like, where, like, you know, somebody that he puts in a leadership position where prudence is not rewarded, but, like, reckless violence is, but at the same time not ambition.
It didn't make sense.
I can't imagine being any kind of, at any level in the Galra Empire, being, like, a low-level crony where your life is just 100% expendable, or a higher-level officer where you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't.
I feel like it's, again, a little bit of column A.
Yeah, this is
B.
Like a catch-22.
Sendak epically failed. He lost the Red Lion, lost his cruiser, got completely taken down, and it's still like, you have another chance because you're in a strategic position. This guy's like, well, I saved half my men because otherwise they would have died. It's like, you
messed up. Go away.
They also have this philosophy where it's kind of hard to tell where, like, genuine fear for your life and, like, dogma kind of where one begins and one ends, because Hagar asked, you know, can we trust Sendak, which I thought was a really weird question to ask of somebody you expected to bring you back Voltron.
See, and that's the interesting part to me, because I'm just like, wait a minute. That's why I want to know more about what happened in this 10,000 years, because if she's asking, if she's questioning one of his, I guess, higher officers, I guess?
Yeah.
Enough so that he had the Red Lion on his ship. Why?
Don't
we
know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
But let's bring the Red Lion to where the other ones at that
just feel like set him up for failure.
This doesn't make any sense. It's one of those things where, like I said, weakness is not tolerated, but neither is ambition.
I don't.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't understand. But like to get back, she's like, can he be trusted? And he's like, yes, because for a member of the Galra, of the Galra Empire, it's either you complete your mission or you die trying.
Yeah, which, the only thing that will stop him is victory or death.
Which rep it saw. I guess is why. Why the other guy, you know, why he grabbed the other guy and was like, okay, you need to go. Because for that guy, it wasn't victory or death. It was, oh, strategically, it's probably better if we pull back. So he wasn't like...
So, like, it looks like he's, like, giving up, I guess. That's why, because he pulled
back. I guess, yeah.
You can encourage your men to throw their lives away when you have more men. That's all I got for this.
Well, true.
An abundance of numbers.
And another thing... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Andrew in the chat said, Hagar doesn't want anyone... supplanting her as favorite? I guess that's why she was asking.
Well, let's put it this way. No one else can keep Zarkon alive. We saw that quintessence infusion. That's probably what's kept him going for 10,000 years.
I was gonna say, I was like, what's happening?
She is injecting him with planet juice. That's it. That's it.
Sounds like a Gatorade. Hey, you guys want to go pick up some of that Gatorade? I want planet juice flavor. New Powerade?
Actually, I feel like that's an Old Spice flavor.
That could be
planet juice.
Planet juice, Old Spice, guys.
Brand new planet juice.
Listen, I'm on a rocket ship.
Yeah. I'm on a planet.
I'm on a lion. Add that to the list of Photoshops I need in my life.
Please. Oh, Lauren. But anyway, so to
look
kind
at
of get
mech,
back.
Now back to me.
But that, like, that opens up, like, a can of worms in terms of, like, questions we don't have answered.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how, at what point did Zarkon decide, hey, we can take that, you know, planet life juice, start injecting it into me, and then I can basically be immortal?
Yeah.
At what point did he make that discovery, or did she entice him with that?
I feel like it's life essence, and that the druids have figured out how to essentially vampire it out of people.
Mm.
Again, we're looking at stuff, we're looking at, like, episode 10 here. Is when we start getting into the mechanics of quintessence and the weird, weird stuff that goes to happen.
So let's not go into it anymore.
So, you know, back it up a little bit. Yeah, no, Zarkon's a vampire, so...
No, that's what I was going to say, was I wonder, like, does planet juice... That's just going to be in my head. I want to know if planet juice just gives you life, or is there, like, more things to it? Maybe that's how they use it to work on
you. He said, I feel strong enough to take on, you know, all the paladins myself.
At which point I cackled, because let's be real.
Yeah, no, for real.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's a giant robot. Yeah, I'll fight you.
Just straight up. I agree with Allie in the chat. Hagar is female Palpatine.
Ooh, I like it.
I feel like she's just playing a game at this point in
time. Well, and she does say when she sends out her little henchmen, then Voltron will be ours. Not yours. It will be ours. Which means in her mind, they're on semi-level playing.
Which I did not get that.
And or twist, dance, puppet, dance.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, she's playing the game.
That's also why her failure isn't punished.
Yeah, because I was going to say, she's like, I'll just make another one stronger and better. And I was like...
Ladies and gentlemen, the definition of insanity. The same thing and expect a different response.
We're in officially episode 3 now,
oh, God,
right?
Yes, oh,
okay. So when she takes, you know, the gladiatory guy whose name is... Mizax.
Okay.
And she
Because we're taking all the letters from the end of the alphabet there.
You know, I don't recall from the original series how she made those giant monsters, but I gotta say, like, seeing the process that they went through in this episode, I was like, so is he... I feel like he's physically infused into this giant robot thing.
So when we saw him, he was in some weird casing. So I thought he was in, like, some... What is it called? I keep wanting to call it planet juice.
Quintessence.
Because I didn't understand what... Because it looked like a casing, but it also looked like a gem rock type of thing. So I didn't know if they just implant it into the body.
It was never really answered. Either he is physically in there somewhere, and we're having a Silas breakdown sort of moment, which is messed up.
For those of you who don't watch Transformers, you should.
Yep, that's the thing. Or his... life, soul, quintessence, mind, yeah, whatever, was transferred into the Robeast, and that's what we've got.
Or, I'm thinking just kind of with the way that it was looking, I'm thinking it's kind of more of the breakdown sort of deal.
Yeah.
But it could be either. It could be some combination of the two, or maybe it was just, like, piloting a giant robot. I don't know.
See, I would have guessed full transfer. Okay. Especially with the weird everything, I would have guessed full transfer, but we just don't know.
No, that's the thing. Is like I'm on the third part of that option where I thought he was inside, and then whenever they did something, he would just like fall out.
I actually think it's a comp. I think he's physically in there, but I'm pretty sure. Not but like, it's actually. Like I feel like spoilers. I guess I feel like it's sort of an Attack on Titan situation where he's like, if you're one of the people who can transform into a Titan,
spoilers.
I said spoilers. Alert. It's been out for how long?
Come on.
But where, like, physically they're still in there, but, like, mentally it's also a different, it's a completely different state.
Well, but then again, you look at the second one she made, and again, that's spoiler territory, and you sit there and look at the methods and go, question mark.
No, like, that was just a giant question mark.
We don't have consistent methodology here, which is what happens when you deal with magic.
Maybe she tries new things. She's like, the robot exoskeleton didn't work as well last time. Let's try something new.
Throw it in a cauldron. Well, that didn't work.
We're just going. We're going full Linkara. It's magic. I don't have to explain it.
That's true.
Like, that's like, what we're doing.
They're just like, oh, magic.
That being said, let's talk about Mizax. Let's talk about this gladiatorial arena. And I think one of my favorite things is just Pidge freaking out about, why would you hurt him? And Shiro kind of going,
I don't know.
I don't remember any of this.
That's an excellent question.
Thank you, small child. I don't know the answer.
Also, in my brain, I was going, do you actually think Shiro would hurt your brother in any way possible unless there was something obviously happening?
And she just immediately turns on him like he has an explanation. Like, we've gone through this whole I don't remember anything thing. He literally just said that 2 minutes ago.
Pidge made me so angry in this episode. I can't. She's great. I love her so much, but this episode, I was just like, oh my god, you're the most stubborn little brat right now. I want to punch you in the face.
Like,
but
you love her, but you don't have to like her right
now. No, it's true. No, right now, not so much. Not my favorite person.
And I understand your knee-jerk reaction is this person that I trusted, that my family trusted, I hear that he hurt them. Why? Explain yourself. And it's like, about that. Yeah.
See, what had happened was, like, it was one of those instances where I was like, dear God, let him explain. Oh, I forgot. He doesn't remember anything. Jeez.
Give me 15 minutes of screen time and a convenient traumatic flashback, and then I'll have an explanation for you. Okay, cool.
As we defeat this monster. You cool?
But,
cool.
So they actually try to make it to a crashed ship. And this is
the crash ship.
Yeah, and this is one of the examples where we get to see Shiro's arm being used as sort of like a plot device, because it's like, hey, this is Galra technology. Boom! Hey! Look at that!
I need a hand source that's compatible with, okay, let me give you a hand.
I don't need a USB port. Sorry!
I was shaking my fist. I was like, you son of a.
Sorry, I just see this and I was like, please don't hit me.
No, sorry.
I made a pun. You missed it. She didn't.
I just chose not to acknowledge it, you monster. Anyway.
Well, I'll have to save it. It came in handy.
No, my god! So, she's anyway.
Oh my god!
She's
going to
murder me.
This has been fun, guys. I have to go now.
Sit down.
Oh, my God.
Sit down.
I can't breathe.
Please breathe.
Oh, God.
Please breathe.
But, yes, that was the moment where I was like, okay, Pidge, I get it. I understand that you were going through something that probably nobody in this world will ever understand. But how dare you force your teammate as something is literally falling from the sky, like Chicken Little style, and pretend like, no, this is it's more important that I know about my family at a, what was it, 15% download or whatever, instead of saving a town or whatever was happening.
Or, you know, your own lives. Not dying in the process.
And I was like, again, totally understand where you're coming from, but don't actually try to kill you and your teammate.
I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that most of the characters in the show are teenagers.
True.
Yeah.
So, and not to say that, like, teenagers make dumb decisions or anything like that, but when you're a teenager who's been obsessing about one thing
for a year,
over the past year.
Yeah, and the fact that she went into the academy and she went through long lengths to get to where she is. So, of course, when she gets the one thing that she's like, oh my gosh, I finally found what I wanted, I understand, but again, you're putting other people's lives in danger.
And this is yourself as close as in she's danger.
Apparently, it was you're just not going to find your family if you're dead in a crater.
Yep. But it's broken. A good thing the just lions broken. Can move independently.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I loved it, right? Yeah. For that and then the shot afterward. Like, that shot where they're with their lions, you get a really good sense of the scale of these things. These
yes.
lions
that was
are
cool.
huge. And that's one of those things that you don't really think about it very often. And then you have that shot, and it's like, okay.
Huge.
And then you see them fighting the Myzax, the Roe Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easily twice their size.
Yeah, if they
twice, two or three times the size of the black lion, which is the biggest one.
Yeah, and the fact that even when they form Voltron, it's like, yeah, they're just
neck and neck.
Neck and neck.
Yeah,
the scale is just like, oh!
Yeah,
okay.
I gotta say,
these are giant robots.
I really appreciated that, like, the first giant monster that they have to fight, because I'm, you know, one of the things that you really remember from Voltron was that it fought giant monsters.
A lot.
Power Ranger style. But what I really appreciated about this particular fight is that they're like, Voltron is supposed to be one of the strongest mm-hmm. thing in the universe. Why are we not, like, winning right now?
Yes,
and you can only kind of attribute so much of that to inexperience.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to say that this thing that Hagar has created is the first thing ever like that. But
yeah.
at the same time, I'm like, no, I bet you the druids have been doing stuff like this for a long time. Because otherwise, why would you need a giant robot if not there are giant monsters that need defeating?
No, completely. I completely agree
Possibly.
With you on that. Yeah.
Like, granted, it might have been, like, a long time since giant monsters were a thing.
Or maybe the monsters
almost,
were giant, but not as giant.
It's almost like technology advances in 10,000 years.
No!
You
lie.
Don't say.
You lie! Megan Voltron.
That's one of the biggest criticisms I've seen from a lot of people that
really?
I've seen watch this show is... We're not going to talk about how technology has advanced and Voltron might not be the biggest kid in the playground anymore. Like, we're not going to talk about that.
Science-y magic, guys.
Yeah,
time
when you say
stuff.
It that way, it really does sound like it's haunted.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so this, and what you were talking about earlier, I love the convenient flashback was super convenient, but
no,
let's
extremely.
Be real, Shiro's convenient plot flashbacks are a thing.
And it was just
and they're
really
gonna continue
well choreographed.
To be a thing.
Yeah.
I just want to point out to Haywood in the chat, actually, who
Here
says,
we go.
Voltron was before Power Rangers. Actually, the Sentai series have been around since the 70s. Voltron didn't happen until the 80s.
See, that's why I didn't say anything.
Just saying. Trying to nerd check me, Haywood.
Yeah.
I see how
Ooh.
It is.
Megan knows her stuff. Don't mess with that. Even I was like, nope. If Megan reads it, I'm just going to... Katie and I are going to be like, and roll back.
No, no.
Let the green lion
I'm
take this
joking,
one.
Obviously.
No,
I'm joking, obviously.
Are you?
Well, and again, to be fair, I saw Power Rangers before I saw Voltron.
Yes.
We went over this last week. Not
yes,
a
we
big
did.
Deal. But this fight was so good.
Oh, man. I loved Accidental Shield. I loved still trying to get the hang of things. I loved Lance. I'm going to kick it. No, don't kick it. I'm going to kick it anyway.
And
Lance,
fall.
No. Lance, yes.
Well, and again, on top of everything, this character design was so good and so unique. I think I remember rewatching a few old episodes of Voltron like a couple years ago, and I just remember the giant monster that went up against Voltron was the most generic looking
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's one of those. In retrospect, this looked so cool. Like, it had a unique weapon, it had a unique design.
It was
There's,
great.
Again, character backstory there.
Yep.
It's very good stuff.
Sorry, there's a lot of mic dropping booms
Boom.
Happening
yeah.
in this chat
oh
right
my
now.
God,
sorry,
that
I'm
one's
sorry.
Going a little crazy.
No, that was really good. I want to rewind that and keep that forever.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Because I love you, Haywood. It's fine. I'm sorry. I'm not actually mad.
But now that we're at the battle scene,
yeah.
I think my
oh
favorite
my
thing of all time during this entire episode and sequence was when they decided to go into black and white and red.
The shift in animation with Keith
so
figuring out the sword.
Freaking! It gave me goosebumps and
yeah.
chills because it was just like... I mean, I know that Dragon Ball didn't do it as often, but the movies have been doing those recently, and I'm just like, why are we not doing this more often?
It's like, the animation changed. Shit just got real.
No, like, it
yeah.
just so good. Sorry, I remember I had to, like, pause, rewind, and go, that just happened. I literally
it
just...
It was so good.
I just, like, they don't have to do it all the time. That's not what I'm asking for.
Oh, no, no.
But
just,
it takes you by surprise
yeah.
when it happens. You're like, oh, this is a thing, and it's occurring Wow.
And boy, is it effective.
No, super effective.
We had a full-on anime, slice it in half, weight, explosion. Just standing there holding the pose. I'm like, what am I watching?
We'll watch out for the hero pose.
Just like, what am I watching? This is so anime.
And you brought it up earlier, the use of flashbacks and the way it was integrated into the real-time fight. And him speaking in the flashback and then because he's saying it.
That was crazy
to
me.
It's so good.
I don't know who's doing storyboards, but you need an award, a raise, something.
Can we nominate you for the Daytime Emmy?
Something.
Can we do this?
Because dang.
That was so good.
Dang.
And obviously as we get onto it and more of the fight scenes and everything else that happens throughout the series, you're just like, what? But in general, it just, that was the moment. I mean, besides me obviously loving the first episode, when the third episode hit and that scene came up, I was like, I'm in it for the long run. Mm-hmm. I already signed up, but you can take my money, my viewership, all of it. Just take my life and my soul.
Not your soul.
A little bit.
No, you need that.
As long as I get a lion, or maybe some lion slippers, I'll take
it. See, I knew I was in it to win it when they kind of handed us Shiro and said, he's gone full anime, he's amnesiac, and he's space dad. And I'm like, shoot.
Every time I can't get space dad.
Walking anime cliche.
Yeah, like straight
he
up.
He is,
like,
but it's my character type.
Well, it's adorable.
And is it me or is anybody else waiting for him to just say, believe in me who believes in you?
Oh, stop. Again, with the go.
The vapors.
Seriously, go. Be great. That killed me.
Moda Rolling in the chat says, cool guys, don't look at explosions.
That's exactly what I think that's in my notes.
No, and that's exactly what happened. Like I said, we got an anime heroic stance, slice, and explosion all at the same time, and it was great. And I just loved seeing them actually work as a team. And that, again, was the moment of, like, I think we're getting the hang of this. I think you guys are a really good team, and we got through our differences. And, of course, we get a little bit more into... Before we move on to that, I have to talk about the village. We have to talk about that.
I was going to say, are we going to skip over...
No, we're going to talk about the Erusions, because the apology dance and the momentary sacrificial fire was one of my favorites.
Stop! she's like, okay, I'll just wait here until you're done.
Okay, this is cool, this is great, whatever. She has rejected our apology dance. We must throw ourselves on a sacrificial flame. Like, they had it prepared. It was a pyre. It lit up immediately when they threw a torch on it. Like, they were ready.
The beacons have been lit. Gondor calls for aid.
That's what I thought.
Well, she's like, dang.
They think that the wrath of this goddess is worse than lighting themselves on fire.
Oh, yeah, they think that Voltron is a lion goddess foretold by the ancients, because we cannot get away from lion carvings ever.
How convenient was that carving? Am I right?
He was just right there.
As it has been told. I'm like, where did that rock come from?
Door number one.
Did you do that while you were waiting outside?
Yeah, seriously.
Were you doodling on that, like, while you were hiding in the bushes?
But I mean, they've been on this planet for like 10,000 years. They probably did get a good glimpse of Voltron at the end of the war, or at least seeing the lion sent off. Who knows?
Yeah.
We don't actually know, and we're not likely to get that information.
Because, we didn't get to see the king, send off the lions to the four corners of the galaxy.
Goodbye,
or
my children. We did so. The natives of Eris, the Erusians, are like, okay, we've come to ask why the lion goddess suddenly hates us.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, so
she,
cute.
She hasn't come to smite us for our sinful ways. No.
What is this, Sodom and Gomorrah? What's happening? Like, what are you doing?
It was played for laughs, but it was definitely cult behavior.
Right? I was just like, what are you doing?
Like, so you're our lion goddess. Okay, we're going to do the traditional dance of apology. You have rejected our dance of apology. We're going to throw ourselves on the sacrificial fire now.
Now you must die.
I'm just getting this two-zibulba moment.
Two-shibulba.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Proceed with the dance?
Yes! Little one-off gag is the one of them running up and hugging Keith, and him being like, I don't usually hug strangers, but you guys are pretty cute. And this three octaves below.
Thank you.
And I was like, look on his face, what just happened?
Also, they do look cuddly, I'm not gonna lie.
They do. They're adorable. Like,
well, I mean, you pointed this out, but Karan is holding one like a plushie in the background for most of that scene.
Again, also,
and it's just sitting there like, this is my life now. This is my life.
But I love it, because I love how Hunk was just like, oh my god, they're so adorable. And I was like, yes, you get in there. You cuddle those little adorable things. I was going to say something else.
Well, I know. Hunk also being ready to retreat and keep his head down, and Keith just hauling him back like, not you.
I love that. He's like, okay, I'm going to go.
Well, and it's the super suit because he's just landed, all this fun stuff. And we just have this nice little moment of levity in there, and it helps to break the tension.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you remember, you know, his is the lion of, like, he represents kindness and things like that. Not necessarily bravery. But
we don't really have a lion of bravery. We have kindness, we have stupid things, we have smart,
stubbornness.
And we have friendly, because blue lion is easy mode, I guess.
But again, like, just to touch on Hunk again and his, like, character.
Oh, so great.
You know, like, he's hugging everybody. He's the first one who, once they come together as Voltron at the end of the second episode, he's hugging everybody saying,
so
I feel
cute.
Like we're brothers, and yeah, we're all tired, but
and then
I
we
really...
were, like, elbow
he
nudged to pitch.
He got Keith to smile.
Exactly. Yes.
That doesn't
also,
happen
can we talk
very
about
often.
His cooking skills? What?
Like those I don't even know what you made, but I want it.
No, I had no idea what he was talking about, and I was
someone
like,
just make up a recipe that looks like that.
We
I want
can't
it.
Even call the food fight in episode 2 a food fight because it was a green sludge.
So
fight.
Well, so it was pretty much like double. It was like double
cubes,
dare.
There were cubes
back
of
in Nickelodeon. Yeah,
there were cubes of things too.
There
on
were
the
cubes.
Table.
And I missed that completely.
They were on the table, but I don't think they were ever used.
But you let Hunk get into the kitchen, and suddenly it looks like food again.
And I was like, "What's happening?
I don't know what he did, but it looks like food."
And apparently, what Keith and Lance were just like, "No, no, 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 no." I was like, "Wow,
I did like her."
Better than space goo and whatever shuckle nightmare
I did really so like gross. It smells disgusting.
That's how you know it's healthy.
That's how you know it's healthy.
I was like, have you been talking to my mother, Coran? Because that's not cool. That's not cool. That's the lines that she pulls on me. Not cool, buddy.
Well, and I loved the airplane thing trying to feed Shiro.
Here
Shiro
comes
just,
the lion.
No. Just no.
Super cute.
Like, and that's every single one of my wash buttons. Boom, done. All right, we're good.
It was beautiful. Lance wanted to knit them a sweater. I do not remember that. But
yeah, no.
But
yeah.
I missed that completely.
Going to see the Erusions, and, you know, Hunk was like, they're so cute. And Lance's like, let me knit them a sweater. And Keith goes, I don't trust them.
I know.
He was like, no. So talk first. Stab
I feel
later.
Like that says a lot about all of their characters. And also, does Lance know how to knit?
I hope so. Yes. I'm going to say if he's got a face regiment, I'm going to assume that he might be able to knit.
I was going
to
say, do we want to...
Presumably, he has a huge family.
Yeah.
One thing that he was thinking about is...
Oh, my God. That picture was awesome.
Yeah, we didn't touch on it because we were so focused on Pidge and, you know... The,
for good reason.
What was, you know, the big secret there. But, you know, each of these guys has something very interesting,
what
you know, as you pointed
Keith's?
Out, Shiro.
His shack in the desert.
Was the shack in the desert. because
have
he has
just,
nothing else.
So angry,
have you
Katie.
Just lived there all your life? Is that where you met Shiro? Can you just not let
she's mad because it doesn't girl. Explain anything.
No, it doesn't.
I'm even madder about Hunks because it's just food. And I'm like... We had an opportunity.
We did.
And you had to go back on the joke. Why?
But the thing that we do get insight into is that, yeah, there were a lot of people in that family photo.
There were like a dozen of all different ages.
Even though Lance is a dummy, and I will admit that because he's a dummy, but I love that he will probably be the most family-oriented probably on that whole ship, besides obviously Pidge, but that's a whole different type of family-oriented.
And again, it's one of those things where maybe they're not all his siblings. Maybe he has cousins and aunts and uncles, or maybe it is a lot of siblings and his parents and things like that. So
I would love to see it. I'd love at some point to see his family. And I want a flashback episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree.
For everybody. Not
just Shiro and Pidge.
Just Shiro and Pidge. Everyone gets a flashback.
You get a flashback.
You get
a flashback. Everybody gets a flashback.
Even for Princess Aurora, I would love to see more of, you know, what her home planet was like before Zarkon left it a smoldering
wreck.
So it became Mordo. That's pretty much how we
I mean,
it.
We get a vision of it. We get, again, few. Future stuff. We
don't
get
talk
glimpses.
About it.
But...
Katie, stop talking about it. But yeah, it would be really great to see for all of these characters.
Okay,
the
you
shack,
have to explain
the
that
shack
now.
Is basically Keith's van down by the river.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh God, Andrew, terrible. Oh God, I love that so much.
I wanted to be a Voltron Paladin too, because what I'm doing, being a motivational speaker and living in a van down by the river.
That's what I was thinking of. That's why I made you laugh. And yes, I agree with Allie. I think Lance should knit Hunk a sweater. I think it'd be adorable.
He just makes them all matching lion sweaters. It's great.
Oh my god, I want them to go be full, lion faces!
Just go full Weasley sweaters. On it. Just go full Weasley.
Oh, little Christmas sweaters. That'd be adorable.
I would love that. I would squeeze.
And then the one other thing I want to talk about is we do finally get the full explanation of, yeah, I hurt your brother, but it was to save his life.
Yeah,
conveniently, I remembered.
Because her dad had already been sent off
to
at that
a
point.
Work camp.
Jeez.
Ooh. I was like, with wow, the adult prisoners. Adult stuff. Here we go.
Like, all right. Does this count as God winning it? Does that? We don't know. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That became a little too real for me, and like a little, I was like, whoa, you were bringing in some history that I was not
ready for. It's just one of those things, like, it's almost a throwaway line, but it's like, okay,
but I mean,
the Galra have work camps. They send weaker prisoners to them, and
I mean, it is an evil empire.
It is.
But I mean, interesting thing is that, you know, in this flashback, Shiro cements himself as the new gladiatorial champion. And so it's like interesting. Did he keep his title for that entire time?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm gonna assume so.
And I love the voice actor. I'm losing his
Josh
name.
Josh Keaton.
Thank you, Josh Keaton. I keep pulling up other names. I'm like, that's not right. That's not right. That's really not right. He has gone into interviews saying that he has thoughts about what happened to Shiro during that year.
Ooh.
And one of them is obviously that Galra messed with him because he has a different body type coming back than he did going in.
Yep.
He did not used to be a bodybuilder, and now it's like, did you live entirely on protein bars and hell?
Yes.
Which probably. I saw protein bars steroids crack, and I'm like, no, that's probably what happened.
Protein bars and the blood of his enemies.
There you go. That was one of the
occasional strawberry yoo-hoo.
Oh my god!
I think I killed Alexis.
Stop doing that. We need to get through this show.
This is how you know we record really late at night. Like, this happens.
I mean, thanks guys for hanging out with us this late.
Yeah, seriously. But the other thing is, we had that moment of most of us weren't fighters. We were just sent up against them as entertainment. We were cannon fodder. How long until they started doing that with Shiro and sending other prisoners and cannon fodder against him? And at what point do you shut down because you can't handle that anymore? Like, that's what Josh Keaton thinks happened to Shiro, and that part of it is, it may not be the Galra messing with his memory. He may have just repressed a whole lot of innocent people
that
he had to kill.
That makes a lot of sense. Or if you want to just throw both of them in together.
Yeah.
Do it.
A little column A, a little bit column B.
Like, that's my theme, apparently. But did I just rhyme that? That was weird. anyway. I was thinking around the same thing where it was kind of like, yeah, he has done so many terrible things that he's repressing it. Or they have just completely mind controlled him and now he just does terrible things all the time.
There's a lot of theories that he's a sleeper agent, that he was specifically sent to Earth, etc.
But 100% that train. I totally think he's a sleeper agent.
I will hang out with you all aboard.
We're going to give ourselves some time covering the final episode to go into the more prominent theories and the ones we hold, because at that point we'll have all of the evidence in the series and can talk about it.
True.
Yeah, it's just, good lord, everything. And I definitely jumped with the, your brother and father would be proud of you, Katie, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, you were like,
hang on. Why is my favorite character talking to me?
It's always weird to hear your name in a show that you watch.
True. It's super weird.
But that was just my favorite, because I was watching that by myself with my dog in hand with some popcorn, and it was just like, yeah, and, you know, I will keep your secret safe, Katie. And I was like... Did Katie know about this? Did she freak out? She probably squeed somewhere. There must have been a squeeing. I just hear it in the distance.
I had a moment. I was like, what?
No, it's always weird, especially when you talk about that show in a professional setting. There was definitely a character in The Walking Dead a couple seasons ago whose name was Megan. And so during the theories, I think Megan's going to die. Why do you have to say it that way?
Yeah,
there's
a soap opera right now. I think it's General Hospital, where there's an Alexis who's doing terrible things. So they're just like, oh man, Alexis is a terrible person. She keeps killing people. And I'm like,
stop. I'm right here.
I've done no such thing.
I've been home snuggling with my dog, I swear, and watching Voltron. I'm sorry.
I'm just
maybe
glad
a little bit of Auron Host Club.
Okay.
I'm just glad that there's still a lion sweater.
I will find him a lion sweater. It will happen, and he will run around this building with a beautiful blue lion sweater.
Etsy.
Yes, that's exactly what it's going
to
be.
I'm just glad that they keep calling her Pidge, because otherwise this series would be a lot weirder to watch for me.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Like, yep, okay, that's a thing. All right.
It would be
name
odd.
Twins.
Oh, boy.
Okay, do we have any more thoughts on either episode? Because we're way over time. It's great.
Like I said, for a set of episodes that, like, had to hit certain story beats in terms of, like, we're learning how to function as a group and we're still laying groundwork for stuff. This could have been, like, hastily thrown together. It could have been laborious to get through. And they still found ways to make it entertaining, engaging, funny, and heartfelt.
No, you go through all five stages of going through a great TV show and then it ending.
I mean, it's like with Prime. It's like, okay, we know this episode's going to be about this, but the way they execute that trope works really well.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of this. We had the pilot where we had to bring everyone together. We had the Trust Fall episode. We had the here's the first big villain you really need to... But they were all so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
The animation is beautiful.
Oh, I love it so
much. The animation makes
so
me cry. It's glorious. I love it.
Voltron spinoff, Katie and Rover.
And the adventures of Katie and Rover.
I would love that so much.
What's that, Rover? Lance fell down the well?
Leave him. Serves him
and
right.
And then you just see Space Dad, Katie.
That'd be great.
Fine, fine, fine.
Go get him. Make sure you hit his head a couple times when he's coming up. Yeah, anyway.
But you're the only one with a grappling hook. I know. I'll get to it.
Fine, Dad.
Space Dad.
That's better.
That.
This is the weird domestic AU I'm not sure I want.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll leave it at that.
Anyway.
So, yeah, what about them iTunes?
Yes, what about them iTunes? You people are wonderful human beings. Holy cow. So many reviews. 400 reviews. Divided by 100, we have 4.
I was going to say.
Thank you so much to everyone who left a review. We adore you. And if you want to continue to support this after show, if you want to keep us on the air talking about giant robot lions, if you'd like us to come back for season 2, which is a thing that's going to exist later this year, then the best thing you can do to help us out, go on iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, let us know you love us. Because, fun story, the producers look at our reviews and our ratings on iTunes as a, I'm missing the word here.
Litmus test?
Litmus test works.
No,
I
don't know.
I'll go with it.
As a gauge?
A gauge, an indication as to how our show is doing.
I'm one of them and I'm like, yes!
As to how our show is doing and whether they want to keep it around. So the more that you say, hey, we like this show, the more inclined the network is to keep this show. So your voice does matter. Thank you. And the other fun thing is if you leave a review, we read it on air because we adore you. So what do we have?
All right, we've got .. And they'll form the heartstrings. From Reflex 123, my favorite AfterBuzz anime and cartoon reviewers take on my favorite breakout Netflix show of 2016. Boop. Couldn't be happier. And so happy to find that they love this remake, the lions and the pilots, as much as I do. Hopefully by the time this is live, they can discuss how awesome Allura is in the opening credits, steel face, waving arms, and firing ship lasers, and all that cool stuff. I am your paladin. I'm bonding with you. And then Great Start by A Fool ZZ1, a.k.a. Heywood. Like I said, I don't hate you. You're great on Twitter. These four ladies know their anime and you could hear the glee when it isn't, which isn't forced. And they give a great recap of the first episode.
I think I laughed the entire episode.
It's so great.
Oh, yeah.
Form great after show from VR Trooper.
I love you guys. Oh my god. Subject lines.
An after show about 5 lines making a giant robot. Sign me up. After watching the first episode, I was immediately hooked. Loved seeing / hearing Emma and Megan again after Sailor Moon Crystal went on break. What and up? I love Katie and Alexis too. Seeing a bunch of women talk about Voltron is pretty awesome. Awesome. We'll go with awesome.
Autocorrect.
Great work, and BTW, could you guys do a Power Rangers and or Super Sentai after show? Pretty please.
Oh, I love you, but no.
Oh, God.
That's a tall order.
I don't think we're ready.
If you want Power Rangers recaps, Linkara does them. Season by season, and they're very good.
That sounds great.
One more from our good friend Drummer Girl.
Hey.
456, love this show. Hey guys, it's Jade from Twitter. Thank you for introducing me to this show. It is amazing. Love watching you guys geek out about shows I love and being able to geek out with you. Thank you for being awesome.
Because you're
one
awesome.
One of us.
Welcome to Lion Hell.
We bake cookies. Or some weird alien dishes.
We need cookies. Yeah. We need to bring in green jello at some point and just have fun. Anyway.
As long as it doesn't get on studio.
Thank you guys so much for writing in, for being wonderful human beings, for being in the hashtag, I have to say, Michael Rafferty making a comment about, I hope Shiro doesn't get his hand chopped off too late.
I was like, what?
We're already one down. I mean,
I think they meant his actual,
the other hand.
Or the actual, like, I don't know.
Righty's already screwed. Can we keep lefty?
Nope.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yes, thank you for being in the hashtag. Thank you for being in the chat. Thank you so much for your reviews. And thank you for watching. Oh. We love doing this. And we love that you love it, guys. Thank you so much. All right, I think that is all the time we have for tonight.
That is way more than the time that we have. We are sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
But that's all right. We regret nothing. Alexis, where can the people find you?
Oh, boy. I guess we're rolling from all that. I've got abs of steel now. You can find me all over social media at atorres890. Because my life has been crazy, I've only filmed half of my Killing Joke review, and I'm seeing Suicide Squad tomorrow, so I'm doing both reviews separately. It's going to be crazy, and I'm about to go into a rant in Harley Quinn history that I don't even want to get into right now. But it'll all be on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PS890.
And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguan. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. And I write articles for the movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
Follow Emma Fife at Emma Fife. EMMAFYFFE. Those are all F's and Frank as opposed to any other letter that sounds like that. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at KiaJay. That's KIAXET. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I've just started doing vlogs on YouTube, so if you've got something you want me to talk about, go on, comment on the video, let me know. It'll be cool. Great. We are on the Steven Universe after show, 10 p.m. on Mondays. We will be back talking about 8,000 hours worth of episodes at this point. It's wonderful. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.